Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Welcome back to the Diabetes Revolution podcast. This is Sarah Townley and I'm your host. Thanks for joining me today. I have a scintillating, exciting topic to cover with you today about shame. Why in the world would I want to talk about this? You know why, people? Because this is a universal human experience, okay? And almost every single client that I've ever had has told me that they have shameful thoughts about their diabetes, and it shows up in their behaviors, their actions. So like when I say this, some of you may not think it's relatable. Like, what is she talking about? Why would I be ashamed to have diabetes? But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But for those of you who can't quite resonate with this, I'm going to ask you, have you ever blamed yourself for your diabetes? When you were diagnosed, did you ever remember having thoughts like, if only I had had more self-control? If only I had taken it more seriously back then. If only I wasn't so fill in the blank, okay? Whatever disparaging thing you want to label yourself as, fill in the blank. And then you don't answer that question, right? Like you just feel like you wouldn't be in this position, you wouldn't have this problem if there wasn't something wrong with you that led to your diagnosis. And for some of you, you have thoughts like this every day, right? Like you just get frustrated with yourself or you're feeling really discouraged and you blame yourself. But we don't actually talk about it most of the time. Right? We don't talk about it because this is just not something that we talk about. It requires us to be vulnerable, which we often confuse with weakness, and nobody wants to be perceived as weak, right? So we completely avoid talking about it. And I'm going to talk more about how to tell if you're doing this in different behaviors in a bit. But I want to address this problem head on today because for so many of us, we are unable to take care of ourselves, or even actively are making the situation worse because we don't know how to see our shame or even how to deal with our shame. So let me explain. All of the thoughts that I just talked about, those blaming kind of thoughts, are rooted in the belief that something is wrong with you. And believing that you deserve to have this disease because of some moral defect, right? Like if you're stupid or lazy or worthless, it keeps you stuck, rendering you powerless to overcome it. When you blame yourself, you experience shame, which is an incredibly painful emotion. And Brené Brown, for many of you, you've heard of her because she's very well known, but she is a shame researcher and expert on shame. And she defines shame as basically a fear of disconnection because human beings are wired for connection. She says it's why we're here and that we absolutely have to have connection in order to survive as a human being. And so if shame is, quote, the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing we are flawed and therefore unworthy of acceptance and belonging, shame threatens our survival. Trying to fix yourself because you are inherently defective seems too overwhelming to figure out. That's why we can't problem solve and we stay stuck. We cannot shame ourselves into changing our behaviors. We literally become paralyzed. So how do you know if you are stuck in shame? Well, if you've had the thought that you deserve to have diabetes because you, quote, did this to yourself, then you're accepting blame for it. Blame creates shame, which is different from taking responsibility, Okay. In both cases, you're saying you've created the problem. However, unlike taking responsibility, shame paralyzes you from taking action to control your diabetes. Instead of problem solving, we avoid. Instead of checking our blood sugars, we don't want to know, and therefore we can't learn what is or isn't working. We put off going to the doctor's office. We don't take our medications. Instead of problem solving, when we're in shame, we resist. We don't accept ourselves. We don't take care of ourselves so that we feel better. We eat food that we know makes us feel bad and makes us sicker. Instead of problem solving, when we're in shame, we even punish ourselves. We talk to ourselves with mean words. We don't deserve to feel better, so we intentionally do things that we know will make things worse. We stop taking our meds. We don't go to the doctor. We eat out of control. These are all the ways that we avoid, resist, and even do more damage and have self-destructive behaviors because we are staying stuck in shame. So if any of these sound familiar to you, it could be that this is actually the root of your problem. See, shame wants you to hide. It thrives on silence, judgment, and it wants you to disconnect from anyone or anything that could help you. If you don't reach out or don't have a support system, you become isolated. And then you just feel so alone. How many times have you wondered if you're the only one? Have you ever felt like nobody understands and that you can't relate about this problem to anybody? Do you ever feel like you're the only one that has to deal with this problem? Do you ever feel like you're the only one that isn't normal? As funny as this sounds, it's actually true. These kinds of thoughts, this kind of experience is actually completely normal. Like I said, most of my clients that come to me have been experiencing shame and doing all of these ways of avoiding it and resisting it and even just self-destructive behavior because they have some amount of shame that they've been unwilling to talk about and address or even acknowledge. It's not too hard to believe that you're actually completely normal when you recognize that more than half of the adult Americans in our country have prediabetes or diabetes, okay? We're just going to call that insulin resistance. One in two adults has this, whether they know it or not. It's not just you. You are not alone. And you are also not alone in feeling shame about it. Shame is a universal human experience, and I can promise you that every one of us has blamed ourselves when we have had this kind of diagnosis before. So in order to get out of shame and into a place that not only feels so much better, but allows you to take control of your diabetes, you have to reconnect with your support system. Okay, so I'm going to call this shame resiliency after how Brené Brown teaches it. And by the way, I love her so much that I'm going to link to her famous TED Talk in the show notes in case you want to check her out and then buy all her books, okay? She also has some podcasts, so just saying. So she teaches shame resiliency in four steps, okay? And I'm going to give them to you here. The first step is recognizing your shame triggers. This looks like creating awareness, right? I'm a big fan of awareness, around when you're noticing this emotion in your body, okay? Oftentimes, our emotions, they're messages, right, from our body. We feel them and experience our emotions in our bodies. And sometimes it's the first time we actually become conscious or aware that we are having thoughts that are not serving us. Okay, and so if you can notice shame in your body and identify it, then any time that you notice this coming up for you, I want you to not just name it, but also check into your mind and find out why you are feeling this. Okay, is it because you are worried about what other people are thinking? It usually involves the word should. I know what I should know what to do. I should know what to eat. I should exercise. I shouldn't take so many meds. And it almost always involves who and how you are supposed to be, right? I'm supposed to be pretty, thin, smart. I'm not supposed to have diabetes, okay? The second step is practicing critical awareness. Where do all these judgments come from? Okay, who decided who and how you are supposed to be? Our culture and our families determine how we think we should be. Recognizing where these expectations come from and why helps you dismantle them so you can question them. For example, who says I'm supposed to be young and thin and eat salad for my entire life? And why are they saying that? The third step in shame resiliency is reaching out. Okay, remember how we were talking about how human beings thrive on connection, that we're wired for it and that we need it to survive? It's important to build a support network of people who you can talk to about the things that are hard for you. And it can look all different ways. Some people have, you know, family and friends, while other people have therapists or a coach. Online support groups are a really great place. Like, I belong to several Facebook communities, and they're so valuable because these are people who are in it. They're like doing the work, and it's hard, right? And they're sharing about their challenges as well as their achievements. And we get to problem solve and celebrate with each other. It also is inspiring to watch other people overcome the same problems that you are struggling with. And that brings me to the fourth step of shame resiliency, which is speaking shame. This is about connecting with yourself. It's talking about what's hard for you. It's deciding who and how you want to be. You can't tap in to your authentic self when you're worried about what other people are thinking about you. And it's also about being vulnerable so that you can receive empathy. Empathy is the antidote to shame. That's huge. Empathy is the antidote for shame. You can't receive empathy if you aren't sharing and speaking and being vulnerable. When you are receiving empathy, it lets you know that you're not alone, right? It's that me too. And it lets you know that you are still worthy of acceptance and belonging. And shame cannot survive this, okay? And the last thing I want to tell you about this is that in order to overcome shame, you have to be courageously vulnerable, right? You have to be willing to be seen and heard just the way you are, even though you might be rejected, even though people may not accept what you are saying or doing. That requires courage. Vulnerability is an act of courage, which is the complete opposite of what we all think it is, which is appearing weak, right? Like, we think to be vulnerable, we're going to look weak. But in fact, we look freaking courageous when we are being vulnerable. We are showing up with our imperfections for everybody to see. And this is so powerful. We crave this as human beings. It's actually how we connect with one another. And so that's why Brené Brown says that vulnerability is the birthplace of connection. And it's also the birthplace of creativity and of innovation, right? So like, when you are being vulnerable and sharing and connecting, and you're looking at who you really are and how you really are, and you're dealing with something that's difficult and challenging, instead of judging, right, and blaming, which is what most of us do when we're stuck in shame, we get busy figuring out the problem. We get busy looking at the obstacles. We get busy thinking about how to overcome those obstacles. And that requires us to get creative and to get innovative. Okay, I want to add one more very important step that is critical to learn and that I had to learn myself. And that is that feeling shame without trying to make it go away is how you process the emotion so that it will leave. Okay, so I had an experience in my life where I felt a great deal of shame, and it was so evading my awareness that I couldn't even see it. Okay, I didn't even realize that I was stuck in shame because I wasn't even willing to acknowledge it. Anytime it would come up, I would shove it back down. Okay, I would shove it back down into my body and ignore it and resist it and just completely try to disconnect from it. And it didn't go away. It just got worse and worse and worse, and it kept coming up and coming up. And it wasn't until I had a coach that I was able to see it. How can I even address something that I wasn't able to see, right? She helped me gain awareness that I was experiencing shame and it was causing me to stay stuck. I wasn't able to move forward because I was stuck in shame. See, feelings are by nature meant to pass. Okay, they're temporary. They're actually chemical signals that are released in our body, and they show up in all the different sensations that we experience in association with that emotion. And they pass. We process them and they pass. They're not meant to stay. Being with yourself in shame is so painful that it's natural to want to resist and avoid it. To stay with shame and allow it to be there takes conscious effort. Okay, it's against what we do. This is what I talk about. This is what people mean when they say lean into it, right? Instead of shut down and avoid it, you actually want to open up to the experience and lean into it. And that is going against human nature. We are wired to avoid discomfort and to run from whatever is causing pain for us to get comfortable, right? And so when shame comes up, most of us are not willing to experience it because it's painful. And so to do that intentionally requires you to stay conscious, to stay awake. So the only way to release it is going to be to allow it to be there until you don't notice it anymore. That's called processing. You find where it is in your body, you name it, you locate it, and you literally follow it around in your body. You describe what it feels like for this emotion to be present in your body and with a lot of detail. Okay. You keep looking for it. Where is it, right? How does it feel? Is it moving? Does it have a temperature? Does it have a color? Like, what does it feel like to experience this emotion? Like you're describing it to an alien, for example, that has never experienced it. When we do not acknowledge shame and allow ourselves to feel it, we only prolong it. Resisting it only strengthens it. Recognizing shame in your body also allows you to find your shame triggers better so that you can work on those four steps that we covered in shame resiliency. This is not a fun topic, but it is a universal human experience. If it's not with your diabetes, there's somewhere in your life that this is applicable. And I just want to encourage you that it's absolutely normal, right? I've had this. All my clients have this. And sometimes we get stuck in this. And sometimes we need help getting out of it. And it begins with recognizing it. And so that's what this podcast was all about for you. It was to help you see it and then teach you why it causes you to stay stuck, and then give you some skills and some tools in order for you to process that shame and to let it go and to practice that courageous vulnerability so that you can find people who are like you. And I want to remind you that I provide that when you work with me. I am a coach, right? So we develop a relationship as coach and client, but I also have a group membership program that has a community of individuals that are just like you, solving the same problem as you and dealing with the same types of challenges and obstacles and solving those problems. And so if you want to align yourself with people like that in a community, then I have that for you. And you can find out more by going to sarahtownley.com. And I will link to that in the show notes. All right, I will see you on the next podcast. Take care. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownley.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.